Okay.
Go ahead, Terry.
Okay, welcome to the Courtroom Observers Committee conference call for September 13, 2017. So, Robert, do you have any comments to begin the show?
Well, I don't have a lot, but I do have some. And first thing, I opened up another call last night, same time, same number, and this one is for the Welcome Committee. And so I, invite everyone to come in on Tuesday night to the Welcome Committee call, and also to come in to our Committee of Safety call tomorrow and our Healthy Healing tomorrow night at 8. Now, we've been talking about, you know, things to look for in a courtroom and things to put on the notes and writing affidavits and making, you know, having the clerk make copies and have a copy available for the defendant and for your own records. We've been talking about the dress codes, you know, look nice, button-down shirt and tie is always nice, a suit if you have it, look like you belong. But be very professional. Don't talk to anybody unless they talk to you. And if they do talk to you, there's no need to get into a lengthy conversation with anybody from the court. Oh, yeah. Wear your badge. It should say courtroom observer at the top. Your picture in the center, and National Liberty Alliance at the bottom. That way, if they want to know who you are, there it is. Now, we do have a lot of information on the NLA website under the Courtroom Observers. And I hope that you all are going in and taking note of that information. And we'll be using it when you do courtroom observing work. I'm totally not prepared with more information tonight, and so we will, you know, Jan, do you have anything to add to this? Silence. Anybody else have any comments, questions?
Hello.
Hello, Crystal.
Hi, it's Crystal. How's everybody?
We're fine.
Yeah, I on Monday night I mentioned to John about the American greed, and everybody needs to start watching that because they have topics on everything, pertaining to our cases, attorneys going to jail. They had Shelton Silver, who was the, I believe, the Attorney General upstate New York, who started, I guess he was a big part of that Ponzi scheme with the changing of the mortgages. And also they had three arrests. It was on the medication, Spiritol, the ones that they gave when people had, I guess, psychological problems or, manic depression. And the men started growing breasts. I guess they was awarded, there was like, I believe it was a $300 million, a billion-dollar lawsuit, and the attorneys kept the money. And they put it in a trust fund with, I guess, the person who they were representing in their name, and then they donated the money to a charity, which filtered back to them. They, all three of them got, one of the attorneys was Cunningham. He got, they all got 20 years in jail, and they got to pay all the people their money back. And I guess if anybody was on that particular medication, they could file because they all got money. Everyone's waiting also. But American Greed, I mean, from child exploitation, the slavery, when they're kidnapping children and just young people, period. The undertakers are taking people's parts and stuff like that. It's just unbelievable what you learn on these programs. And you can go back, if you got Optimum or whatever, and go back and go on demand and check out the American Greed. There's different segments, and everybody needs to start watching it and taking information down. We had some attorneys that was up our way that had gotten arrested also, and I don't receive the papers, and I guess it's hard to, you know, when you, because it was brought to my attention from some of the friends I have that read the paper. I was talking about the attorneys, how they've been stealing people's settlements, illegal foreclosures. Another big thing that's been going on up here, and I guess it's going on all over, where the marshals and the attorneys are foreclosing on people's property, evicting people illegally, and four people in the past month was put out their homes or evicted, and when they went to claim their belongings, they found out there was not even an eviction. So the attorneys are doing a lot of illegal things. So I tell them right up in the affidavits, so, you know, because this is illegal what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And also, I contacted, and, well, this is because I said, well, wait a second, how come no one goes to court for a foreclosure? You could have a jury. And so when I contacted the Bar Association, as a matter of fact, I contacted the Bar Association and the Grievance Committee, and I was asking questions pertaining to it, you know, and she couldn't answer. She was very evasive. She goes, well, if you want to, if you have a complaint about a judge, she gave us, gave me the number for that. And if there's a complaint and stuff on an attorney and they took your money illegally, you could contact, you could contact the grievance committee, and if they are found wrong, the claim service funding will have to pay you all your money back, and they have to go after these attorneys. That's why they are, you know, a lot of them are going to jail. I asked her also, well, do you have a list on the attorneys who's been arrested? She goes, well, no. She goes, but you could probably find it out by the law journal. And I said, but I don't have a computer. So she gave me that answer. And I said, well, how many attorneys has been arrested? She goes, well, I can't answer those questions and stuff like that. But she said you can go under, like, our state, Connecticut, .gov, the corruption. And she said you could find out that way if there's any, you know, the attorneys and the corruption, if they have a site or whatever the case is. But that's some other information that I wanted to share with you. So in every state, everybody could probably start doing their own homework on that, you know? Oh, and the last question I asked her, I said, is it true that the sheriff is the highest? And she didn't want to answer. She goes, do you have all your questions answered? She wanted to get me off the phone. And that was it.
Yeah.
But I have to go to court next week. And I did file some papers with my town, amending it with my deeds and all. I will get them over to National Liberty Alliance. And the attorneys have to bring their proof in. So we're going to be meeting in federal court. When I went to the federal court about 2 weeks ago, the federal judge, she was going off on the attorneys, a public act. She was ruling, it seemed like, you know, she was ruling in the people's favor. And she started going off on the attorneys, and there was this one attorney, I guess, he's been doing a lot of shady things, and he wasn't there. So she told the other attorney of the trustee, she's going to give him until 3 o'clock to appear, otherwise they're going to take legal action against him. So this is what's going on here, which I said, this is so great, going to the court, and I mean, I sat through the whole thing, so I said, wow, you know? And the attorney there, who was my former trustee on my first bankruptcy, he was so paranoid and asked me, why was I there? He goes, can you please come with me? I said, well, he goes, why are you here? Why are you here? I said, I'm not here for you, and you're not here for me. You know, I said, what's your problem? And he was like, his face was as red as a beet. He goes, I think you're in the wrong court. I said, why are you so concerned? I said, you're not here to represent me, and I'm not here for you, you know? And then I realized some of the things, this one was a part of doing some shady things to me with those other attorneys. So, but that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Has anybody been in a courtroom this week other than Crystal?
No, I was in there 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I go back to court the 22nd.
Okay.
Next Friday. So I'll have all my stuff together. And they have to show proof of claim and their documents and all the things I've asked them. And also their title. So I'm going to try to get some people with that too.
Crystal, can I say something, please?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Watchdog. I've been working here in New York with a foreclosure and a friend of mine's family. He's been holding him back for 4 years. And he just sent me an email today, a document. Well, it's a whole page, and it's got some excellent, excellent information. And I read that. As soon as I saw it, I said, I got to get this to Crystal. Could you send me an email to mine, and I'll send it back to you because I don't have yours anymore? I did have it at one time.
Let's see. How can I get this?
Do you have someplace I can send it to?
Yeah. Let's see. How can I? Can I give you my cell number?
No, you did not.
Can I give it to you?
Yes, please. Please.
All right. 203.
Okay.
895.
Okay.
7198.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call you right after the show, okay?
Okay, you can call and write. It just, yeah.
Okay. What was that? Call and what?
Yeah, you can call me and then I can get you to get it to the email, yeah. But,
okay, great. Thank you.
Because I said, there's a lot of stuff I said, oh my God, we've been plugging right along.
Yeah, I see that. And I think that I know this will help you. There's some really good information in there.
Okay.
Okay.
I just came from a seminar also for the Social
good.
Security, and this woman, she was talking about the Social Security, what you could get, this and that extent. She's like a planner trying to make some bucks. And she goes, and also, I am the fiduciary. I could do that. I said, what about trustees? There's no questions right now. She was very evasive. And she's like, and I'm going to show you how you can save your money and plan. Well, honey, you're 39 years old, and I'm in my 60s. So I said, what are we saving for? You know, why am I going to save anything when we need the money to live off? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Other little Ponzi scheme they got going on. So she wasn't too happy with me being there, you know?
Sounds like
just
it.
Out the box.
Right, right. Okay, well, good. I'll give you a call. I'll give you a call, and we'll figure out how to get this to you. It's good info.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
I yield.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Val, do you have anything to add tonight?
I would say that I'm not 100% sure, but I think I am. I mean, when in 2008, when we have this economical crash, all those blame on the poor people, and those people with mortgages, government bail out those lending companies. And then the government, federal government, sold them back to at least around 20 different selected company back. And then state attorneys start suing the, what was the internet, MERS. There was mortgage, electronic, something like that. And after state attorneys get money back after suing the party who had the money, I think right now what we see that the state's not very reluctant to go to defend the people because they get the money from the – they had his hands and they can make the money in this deal with the federal government, lending company, MERS, and themselves. So that's why they are not defending the people.
Mm.
That was like about almost 10 years ago. But I remember this vividly, and I don't know if anybody of you heard this before. But the money changed the hands, and everybody who been in the business, get their money in the lawsuits, and government create the money out of the thin air, except the people who lost their houses. They are the true losers, as always.
Okay, yeah. It's a sad thing, all those foreclosures.
Yeah, Robert?
Yes?
This document I have, this information that I have is on foreclosures, and it's just not selective to Crystal. Anybody who's dealing with foreclosures or would like this information, it's Supreme Court rulings, and it's dealing with MERS, M-E-R-S, and
yes.
It kind of slams, it puts them right in their place, and it shows that they have no authority whatsoever. And anybody who has a foreclosure with them or they where they represented any bank, that it's null and void. It has to come from the actual holder of the actual instrument for the debt. And it's really, really informative. And it kind of you can structure a lot of the things in here in your paperwork and demand to see proof, and you'll have the proof of where the Supreme Court has said that they didn't have any authority whatsoever to take your home or to start an action against you. Plus, it has information on there on relief, how to get relief, and where you're able to sue them. So anybody who wants to send sends me an email and just put foreclosure in the subject line, and I'll be more than glad to forward it to them.
Well, how about sending it to me?
Okay.
At Robert.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Robert at
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Is that spelled out, Robert? NATIONAL.
Yeah, all spelled out.
Okay. 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 Will do.
All right. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'll make sure John has a copy of it, too.
Yes, and anybody else that needs it.
Yeah.
We got to start saving these people's homes. This is ridiculous.
Yes.
Thank you, Robert. I yield.
Yeah, thank you.
The MERS could stand for Mortgage Electronic Record System. They were robo-signing those documents, those mortgages or loans, and they miss a lot of signatures required on that document. And that's why what probably Supreme Court observed that is wrong. When you miss the, when there is no signatures on the transaction, on the, then, you know, the house is, whoever purchased the house, it is not his. And that stays with the owner, the last owner. That's basically what I would like to say. MERS, that is Mortgage Electronic Recording System. I believe that's what it is.
Well, it's very possible that as a courtroom observer, you'll be involved in a court case involving a foreclosure. And so it's very helpful to have some information on what they're doing that's wrong, so that when you are listening to the judge and the prosecutors and the opposing lawyers, you know what they're talking about, and you know what they say is wrong, and make notes of it, put it in your affidavit. So it's, you know, it's it just helps to have the additional information, additional knowledge. And it sounds like what Michael has is going to be very good information. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a question for Crystal. I went on the American Greed website, and I'm looking for that specific episode that she was talking about, and I was wondering if she knew the name of it.
Are you still here, Crystal?
I'm no, not it seeing like she left. No, wait a
yeah.
minute. She's still there.
Is she?
Yeah. Her name is on the panel. Maybe she fell asleep. Anyway, I have her number. I'll call her up.
Okay. I have a question for you, Terry, and to Crystal. A while back, we talked about putting a list of courtroom terms together. And Crystal was going to work with you on that list. Did you guys ever get anything done with that?
No. You know, that was her idea. I thought she was going to take the lead on that. But I never heard anything from her after that.
Okay. Well, if you'd call her. Hi, Crystal.
Hi. Well, you know, I've been sick. And I have it a lot. You know, I'm dealing with cancer right now. I do a lot of things just in my house and my own little research and stuff like that. Days I don't feel good or what have you. What is that you wanted me to do again? Because I got so much. I got 8 grand because I got a lot on my plate. What is that you wanted me to look up again? Hello?
Oh, that episode on American Greed.
Okay.
Do you know the name of it?
Oh, the American Greed is on NBC. Hold on 1 second. Let me just, cause I keep my little notes when I, okay. It's American Greed.
You leave me alone.
It's on.
Can't just wait until tomorrow morning.
It's on.
Lionel will feel better then. No way.
It's
they
N.
Confirmed that when they met with your committee.
Okay.
No, they did not.
It's
Facebook.
MSNBC.
Look, we know that. We know the name of the show. All you got to do is type in American Greed. I'm asking you, they have a bunch of episodes in there, and the one that you were referring to with the attorneys embezzling the money. You know,
right.
I mean, I can't watch all these videos to find that.
Right. It was a 200, I think it was a 200 million. It came on, what was it? It was tonight's, God. Today's Wednesday. It came on Sunday night or early Monday morning.
Yeah, well, that's not really a big help either because I don't.
But
really
I think it's
a,
it was like it was the last three. What was Sunday? Sunday's date was what date? It came on 9/11 around 3 or 4 a.m.
Well, I'll look it up. I'll see if I can look it up. See, that's the whole thing is that
probably the last three. You know, that's the date you'd want on nine. It was 9/11 or 9/10.
But what I'm telling you is the TV schedule tells you about what's playing or going to play. It doesn't go back and tell you. You know, you can't go back in time like a time machine and find out what episode was playing on Sunday, the 11th. That's why I'm asking you.
Oh, I think on ours we could go back on that date. Well, we could pen it because they have a lot of different segments. But the date that particular one was on, it was on.
Well, why don't you look it up and maybe next week if you got some time, tell everybody.
Well, see, I have to go. I have to pay. I see. A lot of things I just have, you know, I can't. And
what, for
I,
cable or just to look it up?
Huh?
Well, you saw it, so what did you see it, you know, on your TV? So
I did.
Okay.
But see, I used to have the station where I would pay to record, but like I'm on minimum, so I had that taken off my bill.
Well, you got to understand something too. Is that we are not? I don't know. You know you know who your cable provider is. They're not all the same.
Oh, I'm on Optimum. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's the same one as me. I don't know if I can find it. I'll try to look for it. But anyway, thanks anyway.
What state are you in?
New Jersey.
So we would probably be on the same one then.
Right.
All right, so go back to just on the, go on the.
Well, I'll try to do that, but that's what I'm saying is you got a TV guide. The TV guide doesn't tell you what played last week. It, you know, what would be the point of that, you know?
On the TV demand, where it has American Greed and has each date, what dates played.
Well,
so they might have like seven different shows.
I don't get demand TV either, so.
I'm sorry?
You said TV demand. Why, you know, are you, I'm not even sure.
Right,
what you
on channel 500, and then it says American Greed. So, I mean,
well,
I
that's
can't
another
record.
Thing is I don't get a channel 500 either, but.
Oh, you don't?
Well.
Channel
anyway,
500 is where you can pull anything up or whatever the case.
Well, you know, if you find out what it is, let us know because, you know.
Okay.
There's just a whole lot of stuff under American Greed. And it doesn't. And I didn't see one that specifically addresses what you were talking about.
And I think it had lawyers, and I think it was a 200.
Well, a lot of them have lawyers. Well, it's been back practically every one of their episodes has something to do with a lawyer.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that they're corrupt, but at some point or other they get involved, whether
yeah.
they're suing or they're trying to explain what happened to a victim or whatever.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can if I can find it out or if somebody I know can pull it up for me because I told a few people about it. So.
All right. Thank you, Crystal.
Okay.
So, has anybody thought about going in and and to a courtroom and, you know, just visit, get a feel of what goes on in a courtroom. If so, and you have comments about it, I'd like to hear it.
Well, I'd like to comment on that. You know, I haven't been in a courtroom in a while. Thank God for that. But I may be going soon. It seems my landlord, they want to renew my lease. And I noticed that by reading the statute, they're trying to slip in illegal charges. And I talked to the president of the New Jersey Tenants Association, and it's really obviously fraud. So anybody who is having their leases renewed, you should learn the law, because of these landlords. For example, in my case, they tried to slip in a $100 cleaning fee, but that's already actually covered in a security deposit. And they're doing this to, there's like 180-something units here. On top of that, they're trying to slip in $100 a year for water and sewers, which is odd, because anybody who knows anything about waters and sewers is that the fees vary from month to month. And so they're scamming people out of all this money under these false charges. And I just want to let people know that they should watch out for this kind of stuff, because they know they have you over a barrel, because they think that they're going to go in there and they're going to threaten people with eviction if they don't pay these illegal charges. So look up that section of the statutes, and you could probably then go into court and sue them for fraud, which is what I'm planning to do.
Well, I'm sure that anybody they do that to, you know, they could ask, well, show me the bill that you gave me.
That's right. You see, that's the whole thing. They're charging everybody $100 a year for water, but they never provide any bill. And it's funny how every year it's always $100, you know?
Okay, we have the water bill and stuff up here. On our water bill, as a matter of fact, you can either contact your water company, all righty, and like, for example, for my house, I use 2 to 3 units per month. And the formula is how many gallons of water are in a unit. There are 748 gallons in a unit, okay? And so that makes up 748 gallons makes up one unit. So the number is 4.25. You multiply that times the unit. So I pay like 3 units, so my bill should be no more than $12. Now, with the sewer tax bill, you're not putting out more than what you're, you know, what you're running, because we don't own a laundromat. And what they do, they equivalence, they're taking the laws, that's what they're ripping off the people in Connecticut. They are, so if our, then they double our water bill, because it goes to a private owner of the water. I said, how can a person own the water when God gives us the water free? Number one, then they have the basic service. So that $24, that $12 turns into $24. Now they piggyback our WPCA, which is the water pollution tax bill, also known as your sewer bill, and we pay the exact same amount. I said, well, wait a second. I said, how is my water, my PCA bill equivalent to my water bill, which we're all going to be doing a big lawsuit on that. They want me to do a class on that up here to teach the people, because I used to work in that. And I said, I don't own a laundromat. The only one who would be equivalent to that amount is if you own a laundromat, water running in and running out. And even that, for a laundromat, because they would only be using, they would be taking out about maybe 65% of the water, because the clothes are still damp, you know? So, but it's impossible what they've been doing, and it's the attorneys, again, that are ripping the people off, and everybody, we got this horrible attorney up here who's been putting the liens on everybody's houses, the WPCA, and he is a big part of foreclosing on almost like 50 to 65% of the homes. His name appears on every foreclosure. As a matter of fact, his name had even appeared on mine. And then when I sat there and started challenging him, then they took their name off of it. But on the original documents, I have their names on it, which I said it's good, you know. And, you know, as far as, like, my taxes and insurance, I'm keeping up with that. But that, I'm definitely going to get my money back on that there. But everything we, even like on our light bill, they charge you double. It's on your kilowatts, okay? And so they have, what is it called? The generation fee. You got two bills. You're paying a double bill on your generation fee. And there's a formula on that. And everybody needs to sit there and start learning the numbers and the percentage and what you're paying, you know? Because that's how they're scamming everybody. You know, and people don't ask enough questions. It's like now they're talking about, oh, we have no money. Any state that has a lotto or tolls, they make billions of dollars. Look at the JW, look at all the tolls in New York and the money that they take. Nobody should have any kind of deficit. And all the lotto money, where's the money? You got all these lying politicians in control, and nobody asks the right questions. And that's why we're in the mess we're in, because no one asks the right questions. And these other people, you got a bunch of brainless people that don't know what they're doing and what they're talking about, and they're supposed to be representing the people. You know, and I think with all this here going on, everybody needs to contact their senators, their state legislators, their congressmen, and all that, and say, well, what is going on? Why are we dealing with any illegal foreclosures? And with all the homeless and worldwide disasters, and these people are homeless, and they got the audacity to still sit there and not one of you open your mouth, really, this is the time to apply the pressure on these people here that are that's running for office and that want that power in the office.
That's true. And even in my case, you know, they, New Jersey, the landlords are required to file these, what they call landlord identity statements, and post them, you know, in public areas, in the apartment complex. They haven't filed one in over 40 years. And it's supposed to give the name and address and the contact information of the owners of the property. But they want to keep everybody stupid, so they don't post this information. And I find it hard to believe that the so-called town fathers don't know anything about this, because I'm going to be bringing that up at the next municipal meeting. You know, they're basically giving them a free ride. They're throwing it, all kinds of illegal charges in their leases. And I find it a little hard to believe that these people who are supposed to be watching them don't know about any of this stuff.
Well, that's why you get everybody's name and their title and their position, you know?
Well, that's the other funny thing, because here's the thing, is that I went to, like, usually this stuff is filed with the Secretary of State. Couldn't find anything there either. And, you know, the other funny thing is, because my downstairs neighbor had a leak a while back. He couldn't get a hold of the super. He ended up calling the police. You know, and that's not the police's job. You know, if this information was distributed the way it was supposed to be, then he would have had other options to call. But they want to keep everybody stupid. They don't want to inform them of their rights as a tenant. That's another thing that they're required to post. So you don't know who to contact. They want to keep everybody ignorant of their rights.
This is who you contact. You get your pencil and pad. You contact the mayor of that town or city, what have you. You contact the housing code. You get their names and title. Everybody you speak to, date it and time it. Okay? Then, after your third call, then you contact the media and say, this is, oh, you will get instant results. As a matter of fact, I had a big thing in New Jersey, and it was somebody who had mental illness and stuff, and the things that they did to this person. And thank God I stayed on the case. And then they had the people working and so-called titles. That one guy was sitting there saying he was a doctor or he was a social worker and stuff like that. And then when I went back to the Governor Christie's office, cause I was dealing with the three different governors, I got everybody's name and what they did, the sheriff, the chief of police, the judge, the attorneys who signed up all this stuff, the next thing they started screaming at me and everybody backpedaled. And when the mess hit the fan, the person's in a wonderful facility right now. We got to do justice for this person. So, make sure you get everybody's name, their title, and the date and who you spoke to. Because
here's the other thing, is that you need to record them. Now, every smartphone out there, just about, you can get an app, and it's very easy to record these people, and you can put this stuff up on YouTube, like my friend Lydia does, all the time. And really trap them.
But you can't record anybody unless you tell them to.
No, in New Jersey, as long as you know, look, I can't record a confidential conversation with two other people. But if I'm a party to that conversation, I have every right to record it.
Well,
the way it is in New Jersey.
Yeah, but you still got to let them know that you're recording them.
No, you don't.
You don't?
Nope. Lydia had done it a million times. You can go up to crooked doctors and you can listen to all the corruption.
Okay. But I'm just saying that
some states you have to let them know, others you don't.
I'm only talking about New Jersey. I'm not speaking about, you know, every state in the union. I don't know what their laws are, of course.
Let's see if we can steer this conversation back into the court observing a little closer. I kind of think that anybody that has a chance to go into the court and just listen to a case and think about what they're hearing, what they're observing, and, you know, go over the Constitution and see if it correlates to the Constitution, see if there's any, they'll start seeing where what was said was constitutional or not. And it's an education. And it also tends to help you when you're actually being there as an observer. I used to sit in the courtroom quite a lot, especially in juvenile court. Things get pretty horrible there, even worse than, there's some states where they don't figure children have any rights whatsoever. And like in the state of Washington, they can actually give a child a lie detector test and use it in court against them.
Right. And see, another thing, too, like we have three different courts here. We have the superior, the federal, and the ones like the kids are the crime, what have you. And one big problem, and I said I dealt with all the courts and stuff like that, and I make sure I try to bring different people, go to all different three, because you'll get different. They're all being, the Superior Court, I think, is the biggest corrupt one. Well, even you're right with the kids. another problem, too, because I'm an advocate, big on education. Mental illness is a sickness. It's not a crime. And that's how we got a lot of the kids out, because if they're on Ritalin or bipolar or what have you, and they could be suicidal and they throw them in jail, we contact right up to Hartford, wherever, this is a suicidal, it's a mental illness. Mental illness is a sickness, it's not a crime. And throughout the years and stuff like that, we even contacted when President Obama was in office about the mental, because mental illness is a big problem in this country, and they closed down all the mental hospitals that people desperately need. Like it went away. We got more problems with this drug and this heroin and everything else, worse than ever now, And the bipolar, the depression, and what have you. And so just remember that, too. When these young folks, anybody, goes to jail, about mental illness, it's a sickness. It's not a crime. And a lot of the police officers and all the rest of them, they are not trained for this, it's a big problem that we got going all the way around. But it's just like it's overwhelming what we have to deal with.
Well, you're right about that. And in many cases, when it comes to children, if those children have mental issues, they try very hard to put them in a juvenile
and drug them and make them become drug addicts.
Yeah, they put them in a place where they're off the street, and they try to make the public believe that it was for the safety of the child.
Right, and it's not.
And
I find
it's not.
A lot of so-called educators, between the lying politicians and some of these lying educators, they are off the charts too. We had this one crazy guy, and he was the head of special education, and he didn't know Jack, and the kids were supposed to the PBT meetings and all that, which I would go and sit in on, and a lot of the kids that they would sit there and say, oh, they got special needs or this and that, and they should be on Ritalin. And the reason why I stay so upon all this, because back in 65, they did this to me. They told my mother, who discovered America? They asked the question. Said America wasn't lost, the Indians were here. Well, on that note, they said, oh, she's crazy, she's retarded. They told my mother to put me on, to get me to a psychiatrist and all that other stuff, and then they put me in a retarded class. They made a law about me back in 68. Then they changed it to special education. But I went from regular classrooms to a retarded class in fourth grade, and then back to normalcy, it was one of my biggest, darkest secrets. That's why I stay abreast on all this, especially when it comes to education, which I am dyslexic. That was my problem, but a lot of us are, but it's just like people are always being mislabeled. And my strength is like numbers. Dates and numbers, it's just like, I can rattle off dates, times, and all that stuff, but it's what they do to, I am the voice for children, I'm a voice for people, because I said it's horrible for senior citizens, how they get abused, for people that don't know anything, you know what I'm saying? And I'm so glad to meet and talk with you, because as I said, everybody's going through it, and we all need each other.
Well, advocates are definitely needed for those who can't are unable to voice their own. Many people need that help.
And another thing too, I want to share with you, because I went to one of the PPT meetings. And this child, she saw her uncle get shot to death when she was 4 years old. And so she's been acting out and what have you. So the mother had called and asked me would I go to the meeting with her, to this charter school. And I did. And so when I got there, there were three attorneys, a social worker, a psychiatrist, school security, all these people. And I said, why do we need three attorneys for one child? They want to expel the child, and she was 11 years old. From September 22nd to March 22nd. I said, that's about the whole school year, about 6-7 months of the school year. And, you know, they said, oh, she's been acting out, she's been this and that. And I said, really? I said, well, were you aware how this child had witnessed a murder and stuff? And I said, they said, well, no, but she bought a cigarette or a joint in the school. I said, okay, well, that's definitely wrong, but did she know it was a joint or did she know it was a cigarette or whatever? I said, I'm not condoning anybody's wrongdoing, you know? But I said, for expelling a child, 11-year-old kid, for 7 months, and they said, well, we'll give her 1 hour of class time. We'll send somebody to her house. I said, oh, no, you're going to do better than that. I said, first of all, I said, there is 7 hours in a school day or 6 hours in a school day. So what about her curriculums and the other classes? Her English, math, writing, spelling, art, music, gym, or what are you going to be putting her into, like a gymnastic school or whatever? Oh, no, we don't have to do that. I said, oh, yeah, you are allowed to do that. So otherwise, we'll put her back in the public schools. So all of a sudden, the attorney said, oh, no, you won't. When I sign off on it, that's it. I said, well, who the hell are you? He goes, well, I'm the one who's in charge. Oh, really? So you're the judge? You're the lawyer? What are you, the owner of the school? So I found out that the first week of October, they pay the charter schools the money. So if we were to put it back in the school, they would have to relinquish that money. So it's been like a Ponzi scheme. And they don't have to teach the kids nothing. So the attorneys own that too, just like the debt collectors are the attorneys on these illegal foreclosures. So the child, nobody has a chance when it comes to the laws, when it's the attorneys making and breaking the laws.
Well, that's the fight that we fight. Taking back our courts.
Yeah. Because I said I would have never known that was my first incident dealing with the charter, because I deal with the public schools all around. But I really wasn't into the charter schools. And that's what the big fight, I guess, was all about. And the kids aren't learning. And it's like a business. It's a corporation. Well, everything's a corporation, if you put it that way.
Well. Sad. Very sad.
You know, but everybody needs to start going to, like, the different meetings, from Board of Education meetings here. Know what's going on in your community. The Common Council meetings, all these things. You know, because they're taking people's property on eminent domain. Eminent domain's only two things, highways and trains. And they're perpetrating the fraud.
Well, see, all these things that you're talking about is very good reason for committees of safety to be formed, because the people become educated. They learn that they have power and they can do something about it. And they learn that they can do something about it. So, yeah. It's very important that we do form the committees of safety. But it's also very important that we have the courtroom observers, because working together, wow, what a difference we can make.
Oh, exactly. And I meet people every day, and I try to steer them in this direction. People always call me for whatever help they may need and stuff like that. Which, as I said, I worked in the tax. Education, tax, nursing, 911, all that stuff. So, I have a little more knowledge than, and I was out there to see what's what. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I used to go to the different meetings, because even before my kids started school, I was like all up in there to see exactly what was what. I knew the education that I received, and then I saw like these kids are not getting what the education, the basic thing of life. People don't have survivor skills, and that's a travesty. People do not. I don't care what kind of degrees and stuff. People don't have the common sense nor the survivor skills, And it's just like right now I'm working even with people that are buying homes or whatever the case is. I said, first of all, when you buy a house, you don't buy a house for 30 years. You buy it for 15 years. It's not going to be that much of a difference. Always pay your taxes and your insurance separately, okay? Know that there's going to be a reevaluation. It used to be every 10 years. Now it's like every 3 to 4 years. And that's where they put people in that loop, Get what you need and not what you want. Always have disability insurance and stuff. I don't care what you do, where you live, have a disability insurance to back up yourself. That's like your backup partner for both sides, So because you never can predict the unforeseen occurrence. Like when I got married, my appendix had ruptured. I was in the hospital for like 3 or 4 months. And I forgot I had gotten that disability insurance when I was like 19 years old. And I mean, it's pennies. It's not that much. It's the younger you are, get it and keep it. These are the things. Get ready for life, And people are not ready and prepared. Everybody's jumping out there, getting a 30-year mortgage, getting this and that. And within the 5, 10 years, they're sinking like the Titanic. In 5 years, they're going to sink like the Titanic because they're going to be hit with a reevaluation.
All right. Well, it's that time for us to close out the call.